Joshua chapter 24. I gave a little tease on this Friday night, and I want to do the fuller treatment of it. Joshua 24, verse 15. This is Joshua charging the people. He gathered all the tribes, we see verse 1, he's charging the people. Joshua 24:15 says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, really, we have a duty before you in this world to be that which declares your glory, that instrument, these vessels that the world does not know other than through the witness of your people and from your word that we carry what the truth is. And I pray, Lord, that our will be firm, our resolve very clear and set, that we might choose to do your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One thing about houses is everyone you go to, every home that exists is different in some way. Some people eat at different times. People eat some at 5, some at 5:30, some at 6, 6:37, some eat early, some eat late. When I got my insulin pump, I mentioned that, you know, one thing you can do after you get an insulin pump is you could kind of have different times you eat. If you want to eat late, you can eat late. So the lady helping me set it up, I said, we eat at 5 o'clock. You know, we're talking about, you know. Oh, she said, you don't have to do that anymore. I'm thinking, have to do it. I said, 5 o'clock is the early. I love to eat then. Probably for, you know, other people, that's too late. We generally ate when I was growing up at 6 o'clock. But, you know, people eat at different times. They eat in different ways. Ronald Reagan and Nancy got TV stands, TV trays, and sat in front of the TV next to each other. Innate. I'm not sure any of you do that, but that's another way that people eat. And people eat, as we know, different things. Some eat a lot of vegetables. Some eat a lot of greens. Some do not. It's not right or wrong. It's just different. People are different. You go into a home, you pretty much are going to be under the ways of that home. You find out when they eat, what they eat. You don't have to eat it, but you move along with that way that they have. So it's up to the powers in the house. At some point in your new home, you decide that. Your house is going to do this. For Christmas, your house is going to do something on Christmas Eve or Christmas morning or Christmas afternoon or Christmas night, it's different. When my grandmother cooked, she decided at some point in her life that when she cooked, she was going to cook with as much grease as she could. I didn't know there was any other way. My mother did a significant amount of that same thing. I may have told you when she made pork chops. This makes Cindy cringe, I think, a little bit. When she made pork chops, if we had any left over, she made too many. she'd put that pork chop that she made, you know, the pork chops in a pan. She'd put that in the oven. And in a few hours, it'd be like it was laying in snow, because the grease would all cool down. It would look white. And when you ate it, It was hard to hide the fact that somebody got the pork chop, because when you pulled it out, it was an imprint there, right where it was. So it's just that people decide to do this and that in their home, with holidays, with birthdays, with eating, with whatever. And parents are told in Scripture to set a good spiritual environment in the home because you live there. That's the common, everyday, basic routine that the Lord wants children to live in, so that you really don't even have to all the time be telling a child, this is what you have to do, and here's what you have to read, and this is... Because they live in the environment, and they see it on the walls. That's the way it was in Israel. They were told to put up the Word of God in the house where people saw it wherever they went. You just went here and there, and there it was. You hung it where it was obvious, and so you grew up that way. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. It involves discipline. It involves the Word of God. It involves leaving a good impact of what the proper religion is. That's what Arab families do who follow Islam. They try to leave their kids, honestly, in darkness, because they want their children to follow the ways of the Quran, the ways of Muhammad. So they put that in them early on. They grow up that way. Well, Christian families are supposed to do that and be better at it, to imprint at least the understanding of Christianity into a child's mind. Well, Joshua here, in the last chapter, obviously, is leaving the children of Israel before Joshua dies, is leaving the children of Israel with some good advice. And verse 15 is a encapsulated part of this passage where he says, choose you this day whom you will serve. That sounds kind of, variable. It sounds like it's not absolute. It sounds like it's relative. You choose, you choose, you choose. But he's not saying any choice is a good choice. Joshua started off, you'll flip back to the first chapter. Joshua was not, he was a successor to Moses. Remember, he was one of the spies. And Joshua was the successor of Moses, and he was, although we know he had faith and we know he was a good man, and when you look at the beginning of the book, there is something emphasized several times that's good advice, but it makes you wonder whether this was something that he needed to really focus upon. Verse 1 of Joshua 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. You see, what the Lord did was he took a vote in the land of Canaan, and he asked the people, would you agree to being pushed out of your land for the children of Israel to come in? Actually, he didn't do any of that, did he? The land of Canaan had become so wicked and so full of idolatry. The Lord decided to take it away from them. The Lord had chosen a long time back to give that land to Abraham and his seed. So Joshua now is in charge. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea forward, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now that right there is enough to fight on. So you tell the army, nobody's going to be able to stand before you. Everywhere you go, as you are clinging to me, No one's going to be able to stop you. All you have to do is decide to fight. If you decide to fight, you're going to win. If you go and do what I've said to do, take the land, you'll have victory. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. The Lord has chosen to give them the land, so be strong and of good courage. The fact that God has given them the land does not make it unnecessary to be strong and of good courage. You've still got to fight. Blood is going to be shed. People are going to die. And you've got to be strong and fight. And don't doubt. And don't look at what they did before, at the largeness of the people that lived in the land, and then not fight. And that's what happened that caused the 40 years in the wilderness. They looked at the people that they were too strong. So Joshua's told, be strong. They're not going to get stronger than you. They're not going to defeat you just if you will do this. He says it again, verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So there again, he says that he should be strong and of good courage. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That there's the condition. No one can stand before you. You stay with me. You stay in my word. You know what my will is. If it's God's will, then you can go forth in victory. Then verse 9, have I not commanded you? And again we see, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So that was his charge in the first chapter. Be strong and of good courage. And I think that was his need. Don't shrink back. Don't look at the problem and say, I can't do it. Just do it. The people got on board that. Look down at verse 16. They, the people, answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against you, your command, and does not heed your words, in all that you command him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. So you got a little bit of a theme here in chapter 1. Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Exercise your faith. Put it to action in this battle. There were several pitfalls. There was what seemed silly in the taking of Jericho to march around the city once a day for 6 days, seven times on the seventh day, and then shout and let the walls come. That seems silly. At that point, you might depart from the Lord's word and say, well, we can do this a better way. Just go right to the gates and knock it down. Do what I say. The other was to, at Ai, they took forbidden things as booty, and it cursed the army. That was another way they would mess up. Or they would make a deal with the people of the land and get too merciful when the Lord desired to wipe them off the land. So just stay right there. Well, by the middle of the book, if you look at Joshua chapter 10, by the middle of the book, approximately, Joshua has been leading in victories. Verse 25 of Joshua 10, then Joshua said to them, Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. So now he's encouraging others with the same. They've had success and proven the word of the Lord by action. So now he's telling them to do that. All we got to do is be strong and of good courage. That's an act of the will. Being strong has nothing to do with getting strong. Being strong is about acting strong. It's a choice. It's not like, you know, pumping iron, go out there and get strong. He didn't tell him that. They, as they were strong enough because God had chosen to give them the land through battle. So they were already strong enough. They just had to apply that. So be strong. They didn't have to get extra courage. They didn't have to, you know, overcome what the cowardly lion had to overcome in the Wizard of Oz, you know, get courage. They had courage. They just had to apply it. And so, in the end, where we are with the text, he recounts to them in the first part of the chapter. I'm not going to go through all that. But he goes through toward the end, and he says, look what's happened. Look what I've done. He traces down from the Abraham and Isaac and Moses and Aaron and Egypt in verse 6, and how the Lord rescued them from Egypt and what he did. And then verse 8, brought you into the land of the Amorites who dwell on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you, but I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, destroyed them from before you. Balak arose to make war against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you, but I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore, he continued to bless you, so I delivered you out of his hand. Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you. Also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, but I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. So there is the reason from this point on to be strong and courageous. There's so much data here given to them, so much to make them strong, to strengthen their belief and their confidence in the Lord. So he starts in verse 14 with this charge. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Now, all these nations that had been knocked out had gods. Hard to find, even in our world, where there aren't some gods that people have. Some nations have a bunch of them, and some have a few of them. And some gods are not declared gods by their own, but they're idols that are set up by men in the function of gods. So they're, because of the recent history, that all these gods of the nations are idols. The smartest, wisest thing to do, even from a worldly mindset, is to fear the Lord and be on his side. And that was what Joshua told them. And to put away the old stuff, verse 14 says, put away the old and serve the Lord. To take a fresh start, This is a new nation. It's a new land. Start right. Throw all that other stuff away. So a choice must be made, verse 15. And that choice was choose your God. The situation in the Garden of Eden was that God gave a command to Adam and Eve to not eat from the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. It was so easy. And they did not have a sin nature. Have you ever thought what you're going to say to Adam when you see him and Eve? Now, what Adam and Eve will probably say back to us is that they've read Romans, and they know that the choice they made as a federal head of the whole human race, that if we'd have been there, we would not have done one whit better than they did. But if you look at it, think about it, they should have done better. They should have chosen to walk in the ways of the Lord. They should not have been distracted by the devil in the form of a serpent. They should have not been distracted by the fruit of the tree. I mean, they had everything they needed all around. And they had a responsibility to obey God fully. And they had the ability to do so. They were not born in sin. They were created good, and there was not a curse on the land, and there was not a curse on them. And in that innocent state, they sinned. And after that, some people say, well, now, the law has changed regarding obedience to God. We're told here, choose you this day whom you will serve. Many misunderstand what the requirements are after the fall, because when men fell, we lost the ability to fully obey. And we inherit that sin nature they did not have, and we are prone to sin, and the Bible says all sin. And so some say the Lord can't require of us the same obedience, because back then we could, but now we can't. Look at Romans chapter 3. Paul goes through all these verses to show, because the first thing you need to show a person that's lost is that they're lost, or they won't come for any help. Romans 3 verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all gone out of the way. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, their snakes, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's how sick we are, how sinfully sick we are. And that happened because of the fall. Nobody seeks after God. Nobody is turned toward the Lord. They've all turned aside. But the standard of the law still remains. Do these things and live by them. Full obedience is required. We are required to believe in Jesus, even with a reduced capacity, or reduced isn't really the word, with death and blindness and deafness and dumbness. We have fallen so that all these verses in Romans 3 that I just read are applicable to us. The standard is the same, even though the capacity has fallen. The responsibility remains. Some people say God would not give us the law if we could not keep it. God would not require the law of us if we could not keep it. That's what Finney said. Finney said you could keep the law enough to be saved. The Catholics say that you can be from the law righteous enough to merit your salvation, and that some have merited it to such a degree they've got change left over, and they can apply that to your account. The Pope can. So we don't have the same ability, so we don't have the same responsibility, they say. But that's not true. The law remains the same. Obedience to God remains the same. We've got to perfectly do the will of God to be saved, and the only one that can do that is Jesus Christ. That's why salvation is by grace through faith. Not of yourselves, is a gift of God. Not of works. So only Jesus can perfectly keep the law and apply that to our account, because we're under the same duty to believe as Adam and Eve, even though we can't do it. If we get a car, our parents get us a car. Well, that's a wonderful thought, isn't it? When we growing up, get a car. And they say, listen, this is your car to drive to work and back for the first and to school and for the first couple of years, and after that you can have a little bit more leeway. Well, you heard the leeway part. And so as soon as you had a chance, you got out and you took the leeway view. It went all around. And you connected your car to a pine tree. So you say, I'm sorry about that, Dad, but I still need the car to get to work and to school. Dad says, I gave you a car for that. You went and took it out on a pine tree. So you're going to have to walk now. You're going to have to get a taxi now. You're going to have to, you know, get a bicycle now, whatever. Because the standard is still the same. This is what the car is for. You wrapped it around a tree. That's your fault. That's your problem. So that didn't change. The father didn't say, then, well, since you can't drive that car now, let me get you another one. That's the way the gospel is presented. No one can come unless the Father draws them to Christ, but the gospel says to believe, to come, to repent, to receive. So even though we can't come without God, it commands us to come. That is the touch point with humans. This is the touch point here that Joshua makes to the people. Choose. Make a decision. Decide what you're going to do. Make the choice to fear and serve the Lord. And once we find out we can't come to God on our own power, the thing the Lord's looking for is to seek Him for the power to believe. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So Joshua presents to them a duty, a choice. Make the choice to fear and serve the Lord. If you don't do that, make the choice not to. But do it today. I think this is, Joshua's come a long way if he was feeble at first. Because he says in verse 15, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. That's kind of a reverse psychology. He's just said all the things that the Lord has done, and so logically, why would anyone serve any other God? But now if you don't want to do that, he says, and this is a theme he has in this statement where he's trying to get them underhandedly to not do this. He's telling them, don't do it. But he's telling them to do it. I learned when I was a kid, and I had younger cousins, if you told them not to do something that you want them to do, that was the surest way to get them to do it. And what Joshua does here is he's telling him a number of different ways, don't do it. If you want to get another God, go ahead. You know, it's like your mom tells you to clean your room, but she says, if you don't want to, just don't do it. And you know something's up on the other end of that sentence. So he says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, well then let's don't play around with it. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't say you're going to do it. Not. Just choose which God you want, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. So, do you choose the God you want to choose? Whether it's the ones we just knocked out. Maybe you want that. That was a big thing of the Muslims when they knocked the towers down. The strong God, Allah's stronger. Well, they stopped saying a lot of that after the battles that took place after that. Because Allah's not stronger, is he? ISIS has been run out of every place. They've gotten a couple of enclaves somewhere now. They've been run all over the Arab world now. And Afghanistan was, hit, and Iraq was hit, and all this. So many things took place. And there's no strength there. But he's saying, the Lord is the one that's got you in this land. You do what you're going to do. I'm not going to do it for you. I'm not going to choose for you. You make the decision. Because if I make the decision, you're not going to do it anyway. It's got to be your decision. But as for me and my house, he says, we will serve the Lord. That's my choice. My choice is to look at what's happened, see the Lord is God, and serve the Lord. And my house will do that. And to the degree that I can make that happen in my house, that's what my house is going to do. That's what we as Christian parents say for our homes. Other homes have other things. Our house is going to serve the Lord. And so, he says, make your choice and do it today. And obviously, like with the gospel, the smart choice is to choose the Lord. So the people made their choice, verse 16. People answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Great, Joshua says. That is exactly what I was hoping to hear. Except he didn't say that, did he? Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord. For he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. So he says, choose who you're going to serve, and they say, we'll serve the Lord. And he says, you can't do that. Because you'll turn against him, and then he'll turn against you. So, no. And again, he tells them, they can't do it. Verse 21, the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. So he's gotten it out of them twice. He's told them a couple of times they can't do it. And he said, we know we're going to do it. So Joshua said to the people, verse 22, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. So he gets up. You know what you're saying. Do you hear what your mouth is saying? And they said, yeah, we hear. Now, therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So he says, put all your foreign gods away. And he makes a covenant with them, verse 25, with the people that day, and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Verse 26, Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. After they made the decision, and he challenged them on the decision, he brought their own witness against them, and he brought a stone against them. He said, the stones listen to everything we've been saying. When you see this stone, if you if you forsake the Lord, this stone is a witness against you that you said you were going to follow the Lord. He did everything to solidify their resolve. A human and a material reminder. A rock in their own ears, their own mouth. Because the goal was to make their resolve solid, that they were serious. Not up and down, high and low, hot and cold, but constantly. And that's what, as I said Friday night, is our choice always and during this time of year. I can't control what people do. People have got, we've been noticing the last couple of years, Cindy's been pointing it out to me, people are not hanging lights on houses. They're projecting lights on houses. That's a new thing. And we've had other things in past times. They'll hang those icicles around and all around the house, you know. And then some people leave them there all year. That's as for them and their house, they will put the icicles up and leave them on all year. Some have big displays of lights. I saw a picture that had one house had a bunch of lights everywhere and all the you know, Clark Griswold type of Christmas decorations and the Santas and the reindeers and the lights and the trees. And the house next door had an arrow pointing over there that said ditto. And that's all they had. Well, you know, you make your choice. We make our choice. I know this is the world, what the world lets us do, whether the world wants us to say Christmas or Happy Holidays. Just make your choice. Say what you say. Follow what you know to be true. Do what you know your family should be following at the time of Christmas. And we all have to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It starts with the leaders and heads of the house. Yes, all of us. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's all stand.